This year marks the 50th anniversary of a decision that ended a perilous chapter of the Cold War. In 1968, the Pentagon halted a program that kept military bombers in the air loaded with nuclear weapons to deter an attack by the Soviet Union. The problem was the jets kept having near catastrophic accidents. WUNC's Jay Price has our story.
To understand why those bombs were being flown around, you have to consider the national mindset back then. Here's a U.S. government film.
The threat of hydrogen bomb warfare is the greatest danger our nation has ever known. Enemy jet bombers can drop bombs on any important target in the United States.
The thing is, the Russian jets we feared so much never dropped nuclear bombs on us. But we were so worried about them that we kept dropping bombs on ourselves.
Yeah, two bombs. Two warheads, I understand.
In 1961, an Air Force B-52 bomber came apart in the sky over Earl Lancaster's farmhouse north of Goldsboro, North Carolina. One bomb floated down gently on a parachute.
Huge parachute hanging in a tree. Of course, they come got that one pretty quick.
It came startlingly close to detonating. A secret government document said three of the bomb's four safety mechanisms failed, and only a simple electrical switch prevented catastrophe. A second bomb buried itself in a tobacco field. Now, you might think that that would be the only time the Air Force accidentally bombed its own country with an atomic weapon. Unless you drive a bit south, near Florence, South Carolina, and park in front of Mari Sanders' house. Then walk into the scrub oak and brambles to a water-filled round pit the size of a small house.
Well, it's the hole from where the bomb had dropped years ago.
The nuclear core, at least according to most reports, wasn't in that bomb, but the conventional explosives used to trigger it destroyed a farmhouse and injured half a dozen members of the family who lived there. And then if you head south to the next state, Georgia, in 1958, an Air Force bomber jettisoned a nuclear bomb into coastal waters near Savannah. It was never found. The military's name for serious nuclear weapons mishaps is Broken Arrow. Stephen Schwartz is a longtime nuclear weapons analyst.
The Pentagon has only ever officially acknowledged 32 broken arrows, but there is evidence compiled by the government itself that shows that there were thousands of these accidents over the years.
He says a wave of serious accidents in the late 1950s through 1968 was partly due to programs that kept the U.S. on a war footing. A few planes were kept aloft 24 hours a day, ready to drop bombs on Russia.
Of course, no nuclear weapons accident ever resulted in the actual detonation of a nuclear warhead or bomb. And for that, we can be grateful to our engineers that designed these weapons. But we also have to give a lot of credit to just plain old dumb luck.
The causes of individual accidents were sometimes almost silly. The South Carolina accident happened when a fumbling crewman hit the wrong switch and started to fall out with the bomb. He only grabbed a handhold at the last instant. Another accident happened after a crewman put seat cushions on a hot air vent. They started a fire and the crew had to bail out.
All of these things are designed, operated, and maintained by human beings, and human beings are fallible.
It wasn't the bombs we dropped on ourselves that finally ended the airborne alert program, but two accidents over friendly nations. In 1966, a B-52 bomber broke apart in the sky near the coast of Spain, where conventional explosives scattered radioactive material. Then came the burning seat cushion crash off the coast of Greenland.
It was immediately after that accident that Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara canceled the airborne alert program. He'd seen enough, and he decided that the risks were just too great.
If you know where to go, you can still see reminders of the time when we kept bombing ourselves, as a few dozen curious tourists do each year at Mari Sanders' house in South Carolina.
I think it's on some kind of map or something, because sometimes you see people with paper in their hand, like maybe they may have downloaded something. Then some just park right there and just walk on back, you know.
Where they see evidence of just how lucky we were. For Here and Now, I'm Jay Price.
Jay's story was produced by the American Homefront Project. That's a public media collaboration that reports on American military life and veterans.